Today's podcast is brought to you by Visa, with the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa's been bringing innovations to the way we pay for over 60 years. Imagine a world where, instead of just tapping to pay with your Visa, you had to wait for everyone in front of you to cut a check everywhere you went. Imagine how much fun it'd be trying to track down your cousin in Milwaukee for league dues. That's why Visa's vision is to be the best way to pay and be paid everywhere, so you won't have to. Whatever your goals are, Visa makes paying fast and easy. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa, everywhere you want to be.
Hey y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start today in the NBA.
Let's do this.
All right, stick with me here, guys. I got a true story to tell you. Years ago, back in Kansas City, I was in a long-term relationship. I took her to Vegas for her birthday.
You?
We arrived on Friday. Her birthday was Saturday. We had dinner reservations at 7 and tickets to a show Saturday night. I did a little drinking during the day. Took a power nap at 5 p.m.
Uh-oh.
She couldn't get me to wake up until midnight. She never looked at me the same ever again.
Bad.
A month later, back home, I went shopping at Oak Park Mall, right next to my condo.
All right.
I saw my red Ford Explorer parked outside TGI Fridays. That was strange. She told me she was going to her sister's house. She was inside sharing baby back ribs with her ex-boyfriend from college.
Ow.
Why do I bring all this up? Because all the sports fans, sports writers, and sports broadcasters who have been in long-term relationships with LeBron James had their Las Vegas birthday experience last night watching the Lakers and the Clippers game. They rolled over this morning, and LeBron's hair plugs didn't look cute anymore. Taco Tuesdays are no longer fun. They removed the shop from their DVR list. After the first half, LeBron took a nap and didn't wake up until Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers were in complete control and well on their way to a 112-102 victory in the most anticipated NBA season opener in quite some time. It's over. Kyle Kuzma and Rajon Rondo can't save the Lakers. Without the services of star forward Paul George, the Clippers had a relatively easy time beating the Lakers. LeBron looked old, unsure of himself. Time heals old wounds, but not old athletes. Steve Ballmer, Jerry West, and Doc Rivers have constructed a monster. The Clippers are 10 deep, and 8 of those players can defend LeBron James. Basketball is a game of rhythm, flow, and confidence. The Clippers shook LeBron's rhythm, flow, and confidence with all the different bodies they threw at him when he had the ball. Patrick Beverley is annoying. Kawhi is sticky. Montrezl Harrell is strong. Mo Harkless has great feet. Patrick Patterson is pushy. It felt like LeBron had a new set of problems, a different equation, every time he touched the ball on the offensive end. That makes it tough to get a rhythm. James had 18 points on 7 of 19 shooting, 5 turnovers, and the worst plus-minus of all the Lakers starters. For stretches, the Lakers were legitimately better with LeBron off the court. I was stunned watching the TNT pregame show when host Arne Johnson was the only member of the cast to pick the Clippers to advance to the NBA Finals. Charles, Shaq, and Dwayne Wade all picked the Lakers out of the West. Kenny picked the Rockets. What are these guys thinking? LeBron is old. He's not nearly as interested in basketball as he used to be. He's making movies and TV shows and worried about Nike's relationship with China. LeBron sexuals. Last night showed you. Your lover isn't into you. The Lakers will make the playoffs, but they're no threat to win the West. They're no threat to the Clippers. All right, joining the desk now is Yahoo Sports senior NBA insider Chris Haynes, who was inside Staples Center last night. Marcellus, I will start with you.
Please do.
Did the Clippers prove they're clearly the best team in LA?
If you guys listen really closely, you can hear that song still playing. O-I-O-I-A, my team is the best in LA.
Oh, my God. Yo. I got to calm down. I got to really calm down because I didn't expect to see it happening the way it happened. The way it happened was we took their best punch. The way it happened is this offseason got the Lakers juice. 9 new players, reconstructed roster. LeBron says, I now have my co-pilot. It's time to fly. And they came out 13-2 lead. But they forgot the strength of our team is in numbers. And we came back with our bench production, and we came back with our resolve, and we came back because we're the same team as we were last year, but now we have a cherry on top, and soon to be 2 cherries on top. So not only didn't we disturb our chemistry, we enhanced our production while still keeping that same moxie, that same intensity. This team, the Clippers, is forming Voltron in a way where we may have to regard this as an all-time team. And I know it's only one game, but I'm telling you why. Because with Kawhi and then a Paul George and the defensive capabilities of this team, on top of the fact that they have so much production coming off the bench, when you go second team, we're still team one. We're still team 1B. That's going to be a problem for teams, and the Lakers are just the first victim.
They are the first victim, and that's why everybody is piling on the Lakers now. Had they played any other team, they would have looked good. Yeah. We wouldn't have, this never wouldn't have become. But they played the Clippers. And with all that being said, I picked the Lakers to blow them out. Mm-hmm. And you gave me a look, and you said you had some words for me. I'm eating crow. I did not see that at all. And I thought I was living high and mighty when the Lakers went up 13-2 in that opening quarter, but I forgot about those dudes, Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell coming in and just getting them back up to speed. And then Kawhi Leonard found his groove. But remember, another reason why I felt like the Lakers had the advantage last night, Kawhi played only 33 minutes in the preseason total.
Yeah.
How was I gonna know and expect that he gonna go out there and go for 30?
Because that's LeBron? What he does.
I mean, he is human, Jay. Well, like he is human. Mm. I thought at least gradually move it, you know, get into speed. But look, man, the Clippers have everything you need. And you look at the box score from the offensive side, and it's similar to last year, where you look at the starting five, lukewarm, maybe one guy scoring 15 plus, then the bitch comes in and kills. Now you got somebody that's 30 that can give you 30 on a nightly. Then you still got the same bench. And then you add in that dude Paul George later on down the road. The Clippers are the top team. They've proven something right now that they are the team to beat in the West. And I'm not overreacting this one game. No. It's clear as day you can see that they're the cream of the crop as of right now.
Well, Chris, you were in the building, and this is what I sense watching at home, is that we can't just call this a regular season opener. Mm-hmm. We can't say, the Lakers didn't take it serious, the Clippers didn't take it seriously. There was emotion on both sides pregame. You could see it from LeBron at the end of the national anthem. This dude was amped up and ready to go. This was serious. This wasn't the typical just 1 of 81. This was the beginning. This is the first Frazier Ali fight, and they knew they were in a war. And Kawhi Leonard has a quiet confidence. LeBron was boisterous. And then the other guy that I looked at early on when they were down 13-2 and things didn't look right, they showed Doc Rivers walking back to the bench to take a seat at a time when I thought, how come he's not taking a timeout? Mm-hmm. And it's because Doc never blinked. Mm. He knew, man, I didn't even put Harold and Lou Williams in the game yet. And once they got on the court, it was over.
Yeah. To your point, too, about they wanted this game. Look, the Clippers are out for blood. Like, seriously, this is their quest to take over L.A. I don't know if that's capable. You know, I don't know if that's possible, if that could happen, but they're out for blood. After the game, Patrick Beverley did his media scrum. Then right after it, he started screaming out loud so everybody can hear. It's like, when are these TV shows, when these media people are going to start talking about the Clippers and not just about Bron and showing Bron's highlights? Talk about the team that actually beat them. Mm. So they have that mindset over there. Like, they are out for real blood. This is serious. Everybody trying to downplay this so-called rivalry in L.A.? Nah, this is serious. It's vicious. The Clippers are for real. This ain't Chris Paul and Blake Griffin. This is totally different from that. This team, L.A. really has to fear them. It has to be a respectful fear factor with the Clippers because they're bringing it.
And I'm glad you brought up Lob City because a lot of people have lost context and perspective of how dominant the Clippers have been over the Lakers. Let's just be real about this. They've beaten them 24 of the last 29 times. Mm-hmm. That's when you start to look at the schedule and you start to say, we want to play the Lakers for homecoming. Mm-hmm. Because you know that you're going to get a win off of this team. But what was different about this is the Lakers came in juiced, ready, said, we reloaded. Let's go. All right, LeBron ain't by himself now. What? Mm-hmm. And the Clippers said, oh, we're not by ourselves either. Yeah. But we have the same core, but now we're going to give you something that you haven't seen, Unleash Terminator. Man. And that second quarter when he caught his groove and you saw the bench production, I saw a tool belt around the Clippers that said, how you want to take it?
There's a lot of tools in that belt.
You want the ninja star? You want the knife? Which way you want to get cut? Like you said, every situation that you pose to this Clippers team, it seems like they have someone who's ready to be the first responder. That's different. So the layering, the way that you saw it actually go out there and be exercised is different.
Listen, I'm a big believer in Doc Rivers and Kawhi Leonard. And what I think both of these guys have an opportunity. If Kawhi Leonard leads a third team, third different team, to a title, he now puts himself in the conversation of the greats of the greats.
Nobody's ever done that. No star player has ever done
that. No, he puts himself in the conversation with the greats of the greats. And appropriately, I think someone at some point like, called him Kawhi Jordan last night. Maybe it was over social media. I can't someone of... NBA type player. Maybe it was Kendrick Perkins, who I follow on Twitter. I can't remember. And then for Doc Rivers, he's won a title in Boston. He's had a great reputation. His reputation took a hit when he tried to be the president of the team. Mm. But he has an opportunity to have a dynasty team, a team that could win three or four championships, two or three, add to his resume and elevate himself as one of the great all-time coaches in the NBA. And I think both of these guys, and what I loved about, and I'm glad LeBron brought that type of energy to this game. Yeah. I respect that he brought this type of energy to the game. But man, I don't think his group can match Patrick Beverley, Kawhi's quiet. These guys are just tough. Montrezl Harrell, come. These guys, I just don't think the Lakers have anything for these guys. They're on a mission. They're led by the right coach. They're led by the right superstar. And when Paul George gets there, I just think it's just too much. This is, Marcellus, I know we're just talking about one game, but if they stay healthy, this is a team, I don't think it'll win 73 like Golden State, but it could be regarded as an all-time great team, just like you said.
Yeah, it's not hyperbole when I say this. Lou Williams went out there and outscored the entire Lakers bench by himself. This is what you're going to see when you see this team. The Lakers have bad Tetris. Those pieces don't fit great together. They're top-heavy one. We knew that.
Yeah.
But what we saw last night, and I wish I would have put this out there on social media, but I didn't want to come too hard at the Lakers in the first game, in the first half. I said it to myself, AD ain't long for this. The way that they were playing him and using him in the offense, he's not long for that. Yeah. Two, LeBron at point guard is too slow a pace, and he starts the offense, as we were discussing on group text, too far away from the rim. Mm-hmm. When you don't have that same suddenness, you could be athletic. You could be explosive. You can even be a brute and a bully with the ball. But when you're not sudden, as coach would say, if you don't look blurry on film, you can't set the offense out there so far. So he's doing himself and the team a disservice. So when all of those things start to factor against a team that is the deepest in the league, you're going to have problems in terms of fatigue and chemistry when it comes down to the crucial minutes. And they got outscored in the fourth quarter by 10 points.
It should have been used more in a pick and roll, him and LeBron a little bit more. But I will say this. This is a sign that Clipper Nation is growing. Typically, when the Lakers and Clippers meet at Staples, it's a Clipper home court, overflowingly it's Laker cheers. That game was like a high school football game, where you had both sides just going at it. Mm. You know, it was chance of Clippers, chance of Lakers. It was half and half. Usually it's 75-25 Lakers. It's growing, and it's only going to get even more if we believe them to be this.
I don't know if you saw this. There was an NBA player friends with that was at the game that said Anthony Davis was barking at, cussing at Frank Vogel in the second half of the game. Did you see it?
I didn't see that. No, this is the first I heard.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, to Marcellus's point about, like, how long will AD ride with this?
Well, that's not a good sign.
And again, because your point, I don't think AD's a low post player. He's a pick and pop, pick and roll guy more than he is a guy you just dump it to down in the post. And they did a lot of that, and then it went away in the second half. I'm not sure if this is the right fit. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Kansas City.
Let's get it.
Where Patrick Mahomes made a surprising return to practice today, less than a week after dislocating his knee against Denver. It looked like Mahomes' season could be in jeopardy until the Chiefs said Mahomes would be out just a few weeks. But today, Andy Reid admitted the quarterback actually tried to go back into the Broncos game, and Reid refused to rule him out for Sunday night's showdown with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. I say hell yes, you play Patrick Mahomes.
Whoa!
Sunday night?
Huh? And?
Aaron Rodgers?
Huh?
Oh, my.
You can't lose this game.
You can't
lose this game. They probably lost tiebreakers.
Exactly. All this football left? Oh, God. We got it. It's happening again.
What?
How much you putting on this?
I'm not.
No. Well, no. How much they paying?
Exactly. Yes, you got to. You have to play. Yes, you have to play. The question is a mistake for Andy Reid to play Mahomes Sunday night. The question should be mistake if he doesn't.
Where is Whitlock's cell phone, man? Let's see who texted him, man. What that came out of Kansas City? You know he used to work there, right? Yeah.
Only time you root like this is when some money about to get put down. No. And I hope not. I hope not.
No
because
money on this game.
It will be a mistake to play Patrick Mahomes, but it's not a mistake to prepare Patrick Mahomes to play. Let's talk about the shift in philosophy in terms of conditioning and preparation that occurred in the NFL. It's happening with the New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees and Teddy Bridgewater. We were like, you going to rush Drew Brees back when you got a bye week coming up after this? You know why? Because there used to be a mindset in the NFL that once we played our game on Sunday, Monday was just to come in and watch film. Don't do anything. Tuesday, you're off. Wednesday, show up. And you know what used to happen on Wednesdays we show up? We look like RoboCop because we're all stiff. We haven't done anything in 48 hours physically. Then they shifted. Monday, I need you to jog around, light conditioning, lift a little weights, and watch that same film. You know why? Because there's a difference between a cool down effect and then just putting yourself on ice. So if Patrick Mahomes can move in a protected space, you prepare him mentally and physically as if he's going to play. But then you pull off in those moments, let Matt Moore go out there. So I think they're just trying to keep him warm, keep the valves moving, keep everything going fluid in a way that he's mentally engaged, but physically, you won't see him Sunday.
I think it's dangerous when it gets out and gets reported that a guy is back ahead of schedule, because it does play to what you're talking about. Get them on the field, get them working, get them getting a feel for what it is that it is to work on that knee healing up. And for it to get out that he's ahead of schedule, that's great that he's ahead of schedule. Well, I don't know. Usually the people who reported
Patrick Mahomes wanted to play 10 days ago.
And that's fair, but he dislocated his knee.
I still want to play too.
Right. I just, it's dangerous. It's dangerous when those things start to get reported, because then now the narrative becomes the pressure for him to play versus the pressure for him to stay and get healthy and get healthy
Andy
within the right amount of time.
Man. He wanted to play. Andy Reid held him out.
See, I don't know if it's held out versus he needed to be out. Let me ask you this, Whit. If they go into the game and he plays and he gets hurt, was it a mistake?
Mm-hmm. It can happen at any time.
That's true, but we know that he's coming off
of
a dislocated knee.
You could fall off that chair right now.
It definitely could end in an injury, right?
Yes.
But the reality of it to me, oh, here we go. But the thing about it is that when you're talking about a guy who represents the future of your organization, why would you risk that for one game?
I agree. I mean,
why would you risk it?
You think, go back, RG3. Remember, he came back. Mm. RG3 got
and tore it all the way up.
And died on the field.
Yeah.
Kevin Durant,
literally.
Sport basketball. Yeah. Shouldn't have been playing. Came back too early.
And, like injured.
You said, you can get prepared to play, but he's not ready to play. You know, they always say.
How do you know that?
I guarantee he's not ready to play. Dislocated knee? Both of us said.
He popped it back in, and the man was walking around perfectly fine.
You're walking around, but you know, walking around and running around with guys chasing you. Look, Mahomes he's at his best when he can run and throw that ball, you know, throw the ball on the run. He won't be able to, he will almost be like a sitting duck. And if I'm a defensive player, I'm like, oh, cool, you can't run, I'm going to really tee off on you. It's a long football season. This is their franchise quarterback. Why are you going to jeopardize him for one football game? It's not even the playoffs.
And right. People always focus in on the injury and not the compensation that occurs when you don't come back fully recovered.
That's it.
So then the opposite hip, the opposite leg is taking too much stress, and all of a sudden you mess something else up over there.
Popping an Achilles tendon.
Anything can happen, and that's how it goes. It's the cumulative effect.
Can I see your phone?
Yeah, it's like that. You've been texting with Pat Mahomes.
Look, now you're going to switch it. You're going to switch it up. No, we need to see your phone.
We need to see your phone.
We need to see what's going on in your phone.
Hey, anybody more injury prone up here, raise your hand than me. I mean, I know everything broke on me. And it's because, in part, you feel that pressure of, I can't let my guys down. I got to stay in this. I'm an MVP candidate. They need me. Man, they need you most when you're at your best. Don't do anything else.
Now, if you're on a sorry football team, a real, like 1-6, or only, like, hey, man, I ain't trying to get back out there right now.
Anyway.
It's like, you know, when you get beat, you look at that clock, man, we still got a whole another quarter of this. Boy. It's cold out here. We getting beat up on. Man,
you played on a turf toe for an entire season, running the ball.
Yes. 2,000 yards.
Yes. Ran for 2,000 yards.
They
popped the man's kneecap back in. He looked perfectly fine to me. He thinks he's perfectly fine. They're letting him practice. If you can practice on Wednesday, you tell me you can't.
Whitlock is instigating.
He's
totally instigating.
You know he's probably in the NFL. Whitlock be like, hey, you ought to be glad you got a job. The NFL gave y'all a job. Y'all happy? You know Whitlock.
You ain't feeling that, man. You ain't feeling that. You
ain't.
That man's toe was falling off. They put it back on.
This is your quarterback. This is your future for one game. Think about this: is your future, the future of the franchise.
Hey, look, this is no joke.
All right,
I'm not joking. This is no joke. The man wanted to play last Thursday. Going back into the game. Wasn't it Denver on Thursday?
Denver.
Yeah, on the third. He wanted to go back in the game. He looked perfectly fine.
Looked.
He's now practicing on a Wednesday, and this is the thing. That you all don't get because you didn't spend any time in Kansas City. My mother moved to Kansas City in 1984. That's when my association with Kansas City started. We haven't been to a Super Bowl since 1970. Mm. We have a kid that can get us there. And Andy Reid hasn't been to a Super Bowl once, but hasn't won one. Andy Reid knows the stakes here better than any of us here.
So we're going to trade
in.
He knows the information. If Andy Reid is willing to consider it, why shouldn't y'all?
We're going to trade in the possibilities of the franchise for
one game,
an amount of time for one season.
And even using, look, I know you're pulling at the heartstrings now, telling us about 1984. She brought little baby Whitlock out to KC. All that sounds amazing, but you've never won a Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
So you can't miss what you never had, right? So therefore, I need you to just push pause and allow this to run its course before you go out there, rush it, and blow it all
you
up.
You did put it on personal. You did put it on the fan.
Hey, y'all know more than Andy Reid.
We don't need to know more than Andy Reid.
You know, but you know one thing is people forget. Them pros on that other side of the ball too. If his knee hurting, they gonna tee off on him.
Oh,
he
went.
He
wearing
a red
place.
Jersey in practice. This is practice. Wait till you know how it is.
That's how
when
it got
real
hurt in the first
stuff,
place.
Hey, Whitlock, it's for real.
The ankle and the knee.
Here's some evidence. Now we've been working together for a year, so I remember. Let's go NBA Finals. Kevin Durant.
Didn't I say
back.
Durant?
And you were very critical of them putting Durant back there in harm's way, and that's the finals. And you want Patrick Mahomes to go back out there regularly?
Didn't Durant have surgery?
Yeah, after.
After.
Not then. After. He's going to need surgery after.
After he blew it out.
Especially if you put him out there this week. The floor is yours, Will I?
It's a different sport.
This is worse. What do you mean a different sport? This is
football,
worse.
In football, you have to play sometimes hurt with pain. Mm-hmm. You don't play injured.
Yeah.
The man is not injured.
How you know?
And the other thing is, he can protect, because Andy Reid says so.
Oh, well, Andy
he can
God,
protect
now.
Himself.
He feels it.
He can get rid of the ball quick like Tom Brady. They can do an offense that provides him protection. He's in shotgun. They're not going to run no quarterback sneaks. They're playing Green Bay. They can't win. They have to win this game.
You know.
The Colts. And the Houston Texans have
a young black boy. 1984.
I'm telling you. Man, look, they can't even run the football. you know Damian Williams' longest run, 10 yards.
And if you don't have Mahomes out there backing the safeties off, They're not going to run the ball. You think they're going to run it with Matt Moore?
Mahomes can't run. So how, what, you're going to really hurt. You're going
to
really get
it's
him hurt.
You
can't
to protect this was, quarterback.
This was
it's
not an expert segment. This was a fan segment.
Yeah, this is all personal.
Let's be clear. This was a fan segment.
Yeah.
You know more than Andy Reid.
No.
Yes, in this case.
Andy Reid doesn't know
what me.
He's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. He can get away with that.
Yes, I do.
I ain't going down that road.
Whitlock and Wiley, Eric Dickerson and LeVar Arrington are back. Mm. It's time for That Dude's Dudes. Marcellus, what you got?
Well, 1984, my mama and I. we got the big uglies, man. The people who don't get love in the trenches. That dude's dudes. Let's start with number three, collegiate level, Mississippi State DN Chauncey Rivers. Strip sack right here. Chauncey Rivers runs through the chop block, takes down Joe Burrow, who has to pull up his pants.
Oh,
let me
wow.
show you how that went down. You guys seen this play all around. LSU's tackle tries a chop block. Right now, Rivers has to get his hands on the shoulder pads and clear your feet. That's what coaches teach you all the time.
Very nice.
In that moment, hey, you got to get that upfield shoulder.
Cover sack.
Yeah, let's go get it. Look at this statue daydreaming about the NFL draft that he's moving up because he's playing so well. But in this moment, he realized, oh, I got the ball still in my hand. Now you got a decision to make.
Oh. Ball or pass?
Ball or pass, right? In this moment.
Oh,
remember,
man.
It looking like somebody we've seen before.
Oh,
the copper tone, girl.
He
don't know what to do.
Got
to protect my pants and the ball and get on this ground and move on for the next play.
So number nine, the quarterback was that dude.
Chauncey Rivers. That's that dude, defensive end. Number two, let's go to Louisiana sophomore, Shane Vallott, Raging Cajun. You're going to see him throw Arkansas State defensive tackle to the open up a run lane. Look how this went down. Defender tries to do a fake inside, then go outside. Problem is, they already set up there. And they're going to scoop lock there. So you're about to get double teamed where you want to go. Oh, 5.2 feet. Take that. Now, you know, big man hungry. Little baby Whitlock in there. It's time to get them sandwiches. Got to get that pancake with that syrup and them sandwiches. Oh, my gosh. Shameful. Look, Raging Cajun, you're that dude.
Exactly how I hurt my knee in college.
And number one.
Dislocated.
Go to them Cowboys.
He would have played next week.
DeMarcus Lawrence. Swipes the ball from Carson Wentz. Lawrence gets that sack, force fumble. Slow off the ball. That means it's calculated. This is on purpose, y'all. He's timing Lane Johnson. He must have seen the rhythm already. Little fake inside, step inside hard.
Oh, wow.
Sits down Johnson.
Deception.
Now he swipes at his weak punch, and then he collapses the elbow. Once you collapse the elbow, he's at your mercy right there. Use the other arm to grab and pull him down. Man, a little launching of the missiles time.
Wow.
Time to engage. It's time for me to launch. Get that ball, because that's where the money is. As you can see, launches, swipes the ball, force fumble, and then hits him with a peaceful namaste. My man, DeMarcus Lawrence, you know who you are. You're number one.
That dude
of the week.
All right, thank you, Marcellus. That was awesome. All right, let's move elsewhere in the NFL.
Where are we going?
Let's move to the Jets, who got dominated by the Patriots Monday night, with Sam Darnold throwing three interceptions en route to a 33-0 drubbing. Darnold was so overwhelmed by the Patriots' defense that he was caught on mic saying he was seeing ghosts. But now the Jets are unhappy the quarterback's comments made it on the air, with Le'Veon Bell saying the NFL did him dirty and Coach Adam Gase venting frustration about the incident yesterday.
Yeah, I think we'll be looking into that pretty hard. That was one of those things that was really disappointing to hear about after the game. I don't know if I've ever seen that, where somebody that was mic'd up was basically, you know, a comment like that was allowed to be aired. It bothers me. It bothers the organization. Obviously, you know, you're never anticipating something like that happening. And the fact that it did just gives us pause to really cooperate anymore, because, I mean, I don't know how we can allow, you know, our franchise quarterback to be put out there like that.
All right, I get where Gase and these guys are coming from.
Really?
But I'm not totally on their side.
Wow.
They're playing the Patriots defense, a historic defense, and you let your inexperienced quarterback get mic'd up going against Bill Belichick. I don't blame him for seeing ghosts, and I don't blame him for complaining about it. I wouldn't have let my quarterback get mic'd up facing Bill Belichick and his defense.
Yeah, say it again. They got overconfident because of what happened against Dallas, and then they were like, oh, this is prime time. We go against the Patriots. If we could show out against the Patriots, let everybody see us fully exposed. What's crazy about this is y'all should be worried about putting that product out there for national television in primetime.
Thank you.
More than three words from Sam Darnold. And it's crazy because They're trying to let these three words put them in a mental space when those four quarters of inept football, and let's call it eight quarters now against the Patriots because they barely got over 100 yards the first performance, is now trying to overshadow what we're seeing on the field. The worst part about this story is Le'Veon Bell, Adam Gase, guys who've been around football. I've been mic'd up several times. And I'm going to tell you what the universal sign of being mic'd up is. Thank you. Everybody's doing it. We know what that is. And when you're doing that, that means, hey, bro, I'm PG today. I'm not saying anything to get me in trouble.
5-0.
I know wifey in the fifth row and the girlfriend in the third. You know what? Chill. I'm mic'd up. And not only am I protecting myself, but I'm protecting y'all. Yeah. So for now, Sam Darnold to get out there and not know what he's putting out there for the world's consumption, to me, is just asinine.
You're in New York City. You're in New York. Football is a production. It's a television show first. Mm-hmm. It's just reality TV. But it's a television show first. Nothing is off limits. Nothing's off limits. Be upset if the reporters are coming in and everybody's bucking naked. Be upset at that. How long has that been going? Bucking naked. Right? Be upset at that. What are you upset about the man saying he saw a ghost for? If they were playing so well that your franchise quarterback was seeing Pac-Man ghosts out there eating up his balls all game long.
Careful.
Be excited about it.
It's a compliment. It's actually a compliment to Bill Belichick, you know, of how the disguise was out there. But let me tell a quick story. You know, because they used to mic us up. You wouldn't want to be mic'd up. But we played the Chicago Bears. I saw my friend Richard then. I just asked him this question a year ago. I said, man, we played y'all like 88. I said, why did y'all keep calling all these timeouts? He said, you never knew? He said, no. And they were mic'd up. He said that the quarterback, I'm going to say what the quarterback's name was, they got the ball back. Defense got the ball. He said, we're getting beat up on. All of a sudden, they said, where's the quarterback? Well, we don't know. Timeout. They called timeout. He said, where's the quarterback? He said, at the end of the bench. He said, somebody go down and get him. He said, go down and get the quarterback. Nope. I'm done. Can't do this no more. Dick is yelling at me. They hit me. Everybody's booing me. I'm done.
Vontae Davis?
I ain't going to say. I can't do this any longer. Then say, all right, they got to call another timeout. He said, now look up. Dick is on his knee. Like, look, come on. Now look. You know, we need you. Come on the field. You know, we need you. And I verified this with Jim McMahon. He said, Eric, it's true. He said, we need you. He said, look, he said, I won't yell at you. You promise? I promise I ain't going to yell. So he said, he heading back to the field. Now think about this here. Is he finna step on the field now? You promise you ain't going to yell anymore. I ain't gonna yell. Cut him! We're gonna cut him after the game. So the quarterback say, they had it mic, but they never played it. That's what I'm trying to say. It's just certain things.
But that's way back. That's older. You talk about Dicka. Everything is on display.
This wasn't out of bounds. This wasn't inflammatory. This wasn't explicit.
No.
This wasn't vulgar. This just showed you this is how it is in the NFL.
I agree, but those words will live with him
forever.
And
he said them.
A butt fumble lives with Mark Sanchez.
And a laughing stock, Mark Sanchez. They're sitting there saying, hey, man, this is our franchise quarterback. Oh. Y'all, listen, when you broadcast a game.
This is worse. This is worse than the butt fumble.
When you broadcast a game, your job is to elevate the players. It really is.
That's it.
It's not. This show is about criticism and things like that. But when you call a game, it's about building the players up and turning them into stars. And so I get where they're coming from. I just think they put themselves in this position.
Well, you got two things that are competing at times. Look, build up every single player, but there's always a loser in every single game.
Exactly.
So guess what? What we need is contrast. What we need is this team, the Patriots, looking amazing. I'm sorry, y'all, but we have to expose why the other team is not looking amazing. And you gave us the food for that fodder. And now you're upset at us? This, to me, tells me once you step in those white lines, you can't be soft. And look, if you're not ready for the rigors of an NFL game, then you are going to tell on yourself and say, but y'all taking me out of context or putting me in a bad light. It's way worse playing the game than any of these comments.
See, and I think that's the thing with that comment. If people have never played football, the first thing they think, oh, he's soft. You know, he's soft. And I'm taking it as a man, they got me confused out here, basically. Bill Belichick is doing all kinds of stuff, but if you don't play football, you know what it's like.
Yeah.
you know what it's like too. When you out there, man, it's a lot going on, and they don't want you. They don't want you to sound soft. Yeah,
so you see that salt he just threw?
It's supposed to build up.
You matter.
You kind of
know what it's like.
You know what it's like. You do know what it's like.
Go ahead.
Listen. You said the production is meant to build the guys up and build the brands. Ghost of Foxborough. All right. Bottom line is, you now have something to define a defense that is playing at a historical level. Thanks, Sam Darnold.
Ghostbusters. Whitlock and Wiley joined now by Fox College football analyst Joe Klatt. All right, let's move to the Dallas Cowboys, where talk about Jason Garrett's future has been heating up in recent weeks. A lot of people are thinking out loud about who might replace Garrett if Jerry Jones decides to move on, with Colin Cowherd and Urban Meyer recently speculating about Lincoln Riley's interest in the job before Urban expressed some interest himself.
You know, that's the New York Yankees. That's the Dallas Cowboys. That's the one. Great city. You got Dak Prescott. You got Zeke Elliott. You got loaded team. You know, and I can't speak for him, obviously. I hate to even speculate because I don't know him. That's really not fair. But to me, that's the one job in professional football you kind of say, I got to go do that.
Had you been called by the Cowboys?
I have not.
But if you would have been, you'd have spent a couple days with it.
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. That one, yes.
Okay. I find that fascinating. Jerry Jones addressed Urban's comments yesterday saying, quote, "For Urban Meyer to say that is a compliment, period. I really know that the job is great, is a great job. Now, that's not implying that I made it that way or don't make it that way. It's just the place to be." I agree with Jerry. I agree with Urban Meyer. I find this all fascinating.
Yeah.
Do you think Urban Meyer would coach the Cowboys?
Okay, so this is one of those classic cases that when you hear the sound versus read the sound, you get two very different conclusions out of this. When I listened to it, and I listened to it right after I had the clip, someone sent me the clip. Hey, what'd you think about this right away? I actually believe that Urban was thinking about it in past tense, because when Colin first asked the question, he said, had the Cowboys called you, like when you were coaching, had they called you, would you have looked at it? And he's like, oh, absolutely, I would have done it. That's the one. That's the Yankees. That's the so on and so forth. And to be honest with you, it didn't click for me that, like, oh, maybe he was implying that it still could happen. Mm-hmm. These two, if they are flirting a little bit, I think that it's probably something that's...
Say
I don't think that that's going to happen. Let me just... I really don't. I really don't think that that's going to happen. I've been with Urban enough over the last few months as he's taken the job here and spent time on our college football show. Mm. Two things. One, he would have tried it at some point, but I do believe in his heart he knows that he's, and this is not a knock whatsoever, he's more of a college football coach than he is a pro football coach, because part of what his MO was more about the mentality of the team and the human aspect of developing players and so on and so forth. And then the other element to this is, it's not like he walked away because he was just like, hey, you know what, I'm done coaching. It was a health issue, and it's still there. That cyst is still in his head, right? Like, that's not going away. So I just don't think that this is a real story. I think he answered it in a past tense, the way that Colin asked the question.
Before you go, he would take the USC job. He'd coach in college. But
I don't know that to
Dallas.
Be the case.
Okay.
I don't know that to be the case.
Not sure if that's even offered. Whether you read it, whether you listen to it, Urban Meyer's agent had to be like, am I going to get paid this month? Because you're doing all the work right now. That was flirtation at its finest. If he were to be entertained by that job, I would understand that. But if I were Urban Meyer, I would not take that opportunity. It doesn't end well for coaches in Dallas. For all the wins, which is very little upside based on expectations, there is tremendous failure and hits to your resume if you're there with the Dallas Cowboys for many reasons. Let's just go back. The longest tenured coach in Dallas Cowboys history, obviously Tom Landry. Second is Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett takes hell no matter what he does, and obviously he hasn't won a Super Bowl, so some people say well-deserved. But let's go back to some of the other coaches that they've had over the years. When you talk about Jimmy Johnson, who didn't even get proper credit, and he was out there winning the Super Bowl for this team. And then you go to Bill Parcells, who I played for as a Dallas Cowboy. And he didn't win there. And
some would say took some hits because he couldn't make it work with America's team. They yanked the plug from Wade Phillips mid-season, gave it to Jason Garrett. It just seems like for whatever reason, even in success, you're going to take hits as a Dallas Cowboys coach. Instability up top, whatever that may mean. So Urban Meyer in the building with Jerry Jones, those two coexisting, I would stay in the collegiate ranks.
Instability at the top. They've had one owner and one guy for a long time.
I didn't mean physically.
I know. I get it. Respect, though. You know, no one's won a Super Bowl there since Jimmy Johnson.
Barry Switzer.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Since Jimmy Don't Johnson.
That. See? That's my point. That's how they treat Dallas coaches.
Jason Garrett hasn't won anything and has kept the job for 9 years. Show me where Urban Meyer's ever coached anywhere for longer than 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
And so Urban Meyer, look, if I'm Jerry Jones, I fire Jason Garrett today and offer the job to Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer would
Why would he want that job? Because
he just said it. It's the Yankees. It's the ultimate.
I get it. And you know what? That was nice when you're sitting on the couch. You're not going to trash on the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just going to say, in reality, Jason, in reality, right? He's had full autonomy in all the places he's been. He has been the king at every place he's been. He's Urban Meyer. Well, you're going to go and subject yourself to Jerry Jones and not know if Jerry Jones is going to get involved in the draft or he's not going to get involved in the draft. Yeah. Is it going to be Stephen Jones or is it going to be Jerry? Sure, you want me to draft who? Do you know about his history? Yeah, but I want him. I mean, I just, if I'm making the argument, I know that Urban said it was an absolute and it's the Yankees and so on and so forth, and he said that, and you know what? He should say that. I'm making the case the other direction. This is why I would say Lincoln Riley, don't go to the Dallas Cowboys. For what? For what? To subject yourself to that?
To what? The paycheck?
You think colleges can't pay that? Hey, did you see the report yesterday out of the USA Today?
Hey, I get it. I get it. They all make money. But I'm just...
You're going to make more money in college than the NFL.
The list of reasons why. Urban Meyer's going to name his paycheck wherever he coaches, pro or college, in my opinion. Now, so paycheck's going to be good. You guys are sitting there acting as if Jerry Jones doesn't know what he's doing. If you listen to Urban Meyer, he basically said, man, what a great roster is basically what he was saying. Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott, Ezekiel, he didn't name them all, but he's basically saying they put a hell of a team together there. So I just, this difficulty, oh, it's hell to work with Jerry Jones. Who told y'all that?
The actions, the tenures. Look, I was in the building with the Bill Parcells, and everyone walked around saying, are you a Parcells or Jerry Jones guy? Like, we literally, that was on the back of our jerseys, not your name. Like, because you knew how to play the situations. If you were a Parcells guy, you weren't long for the situation. If you were a Jerry Jones guy, you were all good. Terry, T.O. and Keyshawn come to mind. And then, look, what happened when you talk about a successful run with Jimmy Johnson, and it loses its way because
you know Jerry
of a shared
gets to
experience.
Change, right? You know Jerry gets to evolve.
Bill Parcells comes into the mind then, and that's 10 years?
That's
years
all later. Well and good. You did specifically bring up the money, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's why I think that that's problematic. One, I'm sure you saw the report out of the USA Today. Dabo Swinney makes $9.315 million over 10 years, by the way. That's a $93 million contract. There's several guys making over $7 million. Let's just take Lincoln Riley for example right now. He's in the first year of about a six-year deal. He's making $6 million this year. He's going to make $6.6 next year. He's going to make $7.13 million the year after that. If Lincoln Riley stays at Oklahoma, he can stay there as long as he wants, as long as he wants. And the minimum he's going to get paid is this year. This is going to be his lowest paid year. It's $6 million. That means that if he stays there for 10 years, at his lowest bar, he's going to make $60 million. And I'm telling you, it's going to be much more north of that, somewhere in the $90 to $100 million after you take incentives and after you take raises. You're telling me if Lincoln Riley goes to the Dallas Cowboys, he's going to be there for a decade. Tell me he's going to work for the Joneses for a decade.
Joe, for a little guy, you're very powerful. You just move the goalpost all by yourself. We're talking about Urban Meyer, and that's great you want to bring
Lincoln
Riley.
But you brought up specifically the money.
I did. And I'm saying, For Urban Meyer, it's not a bad paycheck, and I don't think he's defined by money at this point. Urban Meyer, and again, to Marcellus' point, Urban Meyer has every right to have the biggest ego in football.
Right.
Because he went to Bowling Green and won. Mm-hmm. He went to Utah and won. He went to Florida and won. He went to Ohio State and won. If you think that man doesn't look at that roster and go, I don't know what the hell they're doing, I'll go in there and I can get this team at the emotional level of a Sean Payton and what they're doing in New Orleans. And again, I think he sees himself as a Tom Landry type, because I think spirituality and his faith is a big part of it. I think he could use some of that with the Cowboys, hire the right assistant coaches. I think Urban Meyer knows damn well he could be very successful coaching the Cowboys. And to me, if he wanted to say something nice about the Cowboys without flirting, all he had to say was, oh, man, that's a great job. And if I was Lincoln, I'd consider if I were Lincoln Riley. That's a nice thing to say. But for him to go into detail, man, they got Zeke, they got Dak. Basically, what he just said is, the guys Jerry loves, I love too.
But in today's sports world, you have to negotiate your contracts publicly, no matter what. So I'm not saying that he was being disingenuous, but it was a smart play to even get the Dallas Cowboys in any conversation.
I agree with
for
that.
Your future play, wherever that may be.
But I
wouldn't take it any further.
The fifth floor here wasn't happy. They're like, oh, no, we're bidding against Jerry now to keep Urban in the seat here with Big Noon Kickoff. The last thing that I would say is you don't want to be – unite us with the Chargers. You don't want to be Jordan.
Urban Meyer.
You don't want to be Jordan with the Wizards. Right?
When do coaches get old? How old is Belichick?
Well, I'm not talking about age. I'm just talking about it better work.
Yeah.
When has it ever failed with Urban Meyer? I need to hire him as my trainer. But
in college,
when college is different.
When he has 100% control over everything that goes on.
Different animal.
You don't have a guarantee that it's going to work. Yeah, it's a great roster. It sure is. It's also a league that's built for 8-8, and it's also an ownership group that has not had any playoff success since Barry Switzer.
And in college, you don't face punishment and penalty when you want to go after the best. You have success in Dallas the next year, they're penalizing you by saying you're at the bottom of the draft. In college, when you go out there and win national championship, you get the 5 stars again.
And that's why I think, because if I'm Urban Meyer, what I'm sitting there saying is like, man, I crushed college everywhere I went. I could have won a national championship in Utah if I had wanted to. And so I think he's like, what is the ultimate challenge before I'm completely done with coaching? The Cowboys and the NFL. It hasn't hurt Nick Saban's reputation that it didn't work out well.
Right.
It won't hurt Urban Meyer's
if
it doesn't work.
He came back, and his most excellent years as a coach have been post-NFL.
So that's time
to argue.
It won't hurt Urban Meyer because Jerry Jones will take the blame.
I mean,
and y'all are sitting here saying,
who's to say that it's going to work? You think it's a guarantee that it's going to work? It didn't work for Lou Holtz. It didn't work for Steve Spurrier. It didn't work for Nick Saban. It didn't work for any number of guys. Butch Davis tried it. Everybody tries it. Guess who's had success doing it? One, Jimmy Johnson. The other, Pete Carroll. Those are the only two. And Barry Switzer. But like you said, we threw him away at the beginning of the segment, so I'm going to do that right now. Jimmy's the only one that actually went to a place and won as a pure college coach. Pete had NFL experience. There is one example of it working.
And what you're describing is the ultimate challenge.
So are you
going to
give him
competitor?
Are you giving Urban the same caliber threesome as Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, that offensive line, Michael Irvin? I mean,
He doesn't need those. I think you're underestimating, one, his ego, two, his aptitude. I think Urban Meyer, when it comes to football, he's like, put me in any situation and I'll figure out how to win. Oh, you want me to coach this high school team with a principal and a superintendent that don't like me? Yeah, I can do that. If I'm Urban Meyer, that's certainly my mindset. If you can go to Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, and Ohio State and win big at all them places, I don't blame the guy for sitting there and saying, you know what? If I'm really going to scratch my itch again to coach, why not do it on the biggest stage? And so what if it doesn't work? Because I think that's his mentality about a lot of things. Like, y'all don't like it? So what?
Well, as the only guy up here who's actually signed a contract with Jerry Jones, let me just tell you. That mentality, he embraces that ego. I'm not sharing this space with you. So as Parcells, as Jimmy Johnson, and unfortunately, if Urban Meyer showed up, you're going to ask him as
You got Jerry at the end of the rope here. He needs to win a Super Bowl sooner rather than later.
Guess what else he needs? The spotlight.
Ooh. He can have it. All right, welcome back, Whitlock and Wiley. Chris Haynes is back with us. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, you were inside Staples Center last night. Take
my
it away.
Dog. Yes, sir, man. Let's talk about my Lakers.
What?
Who unfortunately had a tough night last night.
Just the first.
Yeah, man. Losing to the Clippers in the season opener at Staples Center. Mm-hmm. Like you said, with like I was in the building, and there were a handful of Clippers fans there.
Oh, really? You got big hands.
But Lakers Nation showed out, booing Kawhi Leonard every time he touched a rock.
Who
but,
cares?
But after the game, we were singing a different tune. With my guy Ice Cube tweeting out,
oh, God.
Lakers just embarrassed Los Angeles with a half-ass effort.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I agree with my man Cube. I got to ask you guys.
Yes.
You think the Clippers can take L.A. away from the Lakers?
Yeah, I'm going to stay with Cube. Big bank, tank, little bank.
Mm.
And Steve Ballmer got the biggest bank. And, yeah, they can take L.A. yes.
This lets you know how professional I am. The Clippers can't take L.A. from the Lakers. There is one, some slight level of hope, but it's really going to land with the youth. This is how this is going to evolve. This is how this is going to mature. Everyone over 14 years old, you're not converting them. And a lot of them are Laker fans because their fathers sat them down with Laker jerseys on and told them about Showtime of yesteryear. And they actually saw them win a championship like 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. Everyone else that's under 14, go to elementary schools and junior highs right now. Oh, it's only two teams representing in L.A. Yeah. It's the Warriors and it's the Clippers. Mm-hmm. So we have the youth. The problem is there's no economic power with these youngsters and there's no influence with these youngsters. They can't purchase their own tickets. They can't go to the game by themselves. So we have to wait and let it fully mature. Now, when we get our new arena, things will look a little different. Another log in that fire. But to me, this is a real simple formula. We have to just wait for our fan base to fully mature. There are adults like myself. We're outnumbered probably 10 to 1 with the Lakers. But we're coming. And it's going to take a slow growth and process. But in our lifetime, I still think that the Lakers, because of what they did before, and they put a lot of equity in that, is going to be tough to overcome.
I agree with you. And it's similar to the point I was going to make. They cannot take L.A. right now. They have to take the Under Armour approach. Mm. What I mean by that is when Stephen Curry came out with his basketball shoe, he wasn't hitting us. It wasn't to reach our demographic. We wasn't buying those shoes. He went to the grassroots, elementary, junior high. Mm. Get those kids growing up believing that Under Armour is cool. And they've done a good job. And that's how they kind of established their base. And now that base can grow with it. That's what the Clippers have to do.
Yep.
They have to establish the base. And they did what they do in the first press conference introducing.
Went to the hood.
Yes. They're going to the hood, Whitlock. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? This ain't all the glitz and glamour of Hollywood. They're going to the hood, getting the youth, and building a new foundation and a base. And so they can take L.A. to dinner for a season, but they ain't taking the whole city right now.
This is going to be much quicker than y'all think. And I go back to, look, man, cash rules everything, man.
Around.
And cream. And in the show Game of Thrones, the one dude, Tywin Lannister, said, gold wins wars, not soldiers. Mm. And the Clippers got the gold and they got the soldiers. Mm. They're going to win this war. Ice Cube already done let. Ice Cube is flirting right now.
He's leading.
What kind of season tickets can I get over there?
Right. We already got pictures of him wearing Clippers uniforms before.
That's a charity event. He said charity event.
Damn, that was fast.
And watch Darnell jump ship too.
Yeah.
People love a winner, man.
Love a winner.
All right, lean back.
Before we go, I want to shout out Washington Nationals outfielder Juan Soto and their good luck charm, Baby Shark. The 20-year-old Dominican sensation is well on his way to making our nation's capital forget about Bryce Harper. Last night in Game 1 of the World Series, Soto cracked a 417-foot home run in the fourth inning off Gerrit Cole and later smashed a two-run double off Cole in a 5-4 Nationals victory over the heavily favored Houston Astros. Yesterday, on this program, our very own Tom Verducci told us Soto would be the key if Washington were to pull the upset in this series.
Cole, Verlander in particular, they're going to throw fastballs to Juan Soto. Just be careful. I know they have great fastballs, but this guy can turn around anybody's fastball, especially up in the zone. So I think there'll be situations for the first time this postseason where Juan Soto will get challenged with fastballs and I wouldn't be surprised if he's up to that challenge.
All right, this is Soto's first trip to the postseason. He's already done more in one postseason than Harper accomplished in 7 seasons in 4 playoff series for the Nationals. Soto has 10 RBI, 3 home runs, and a .286 average. Harper, who left Washington this season for the Phillies and a $330 million contract, never won a playoff series and compiled 10 RBI, 5 home runs, and hit .211 in the playoffs. It's truly amazing what Soto is accomplishing before the age of 21. American team sports are dominated by the experience. Soto's home run made sports writers recall Braves outfielder Andruw Jones crushing home runs in his first 2 at-bats in Game 1 of the 1996 World Series. Jones was 19 at the time. For me, Soto's postseason takes me back even further and to a different sport. It reminds me of when Magic Johnson's ride through the 1980 NBA playoffs. Magic's journey at the age of 20 culminated with the Lakers star dominating Game 6 of the NBA Finals with 42 points. There's nothing better than when a kid stars in a kid's game. Soto and Baby Shark, keep do what you're doing. Y'all heard the Baby Shark?
Yeah, I got kids. Right.
Whitlock and Wiley, LeVar Arrington's back. Let's move to Minnesota, where the Vikings host Kirk Cousins' former team, the Redskins, tomorrow on Thursday Night Football on Fox. Cousins had a rough start to the year, playing so badly that he actually apologized to his teammates, but he's been on fire the last few weeks.
Fire.
Going 3-0, nearly doubling his yards per game and passer rating, and throwing 10 touchdowns to just 1 pick. Kirk Cousins is about a week away from being in the MVP conversation, which begs the question, with them playing the Redskins, did the Redskins make a mistake letting Kirk Cousins get away? I say hell no.
I just heard the word Redskins, so I'm going to look this way.
Oh, why? Why look my way?
I mean, I like
you
to hear.
You should jump on it.
Well, look, they don't have stability at the quarterback position. Without a quarterback, you don't have a chance. So it's pretty simple. The answer, yes. Kirk Cousins had tremendous leverage that wasn't being properly exercised. So he was getting franchised and strung along. And I think that they both grew tired of that situation. That said, I'm not completely sold on Kirk Cousins.
That's it.
My problem is, if you played a lot of football and a lot of successful football, and this apology and confrontation on a radio show is what brought this out of you, is it sustainable? And does it take that outward force to always bring it from the inside out? That, to me, is not trustworthy, so therefore I'm still pausing in my love and adoration for Kirk.
I'm going to say, yes, it was a mistake for them not to sign him and commit to it, because he was probably the best thing that they had going for the franchise in quite some time. He was trending down, all right? The record-wise, he was 9-7 when he first took over as the starter. He was 8-7 the following year, and then he was 7-9 the year after. So he was trending down.
But you say pay.
Well, here's why I say pay him, Whit. He played 16 games all of those seasons. His first year with the Minnesota Vikings, he played all 16 games. So far this year, he's played every game. Yeah. So you're talking about, if you're saying you're a franchise guy, then be available. That's the first thing they say as a pro, be available. If you're available, then we got a chance. He's accountable as a human. He's a good human on the inside. Yeah. Very, very solid person. Very, very spiritually centered. And he was, in a lot of ways, what that franchise could have used. And they didn't bring him back. And they went with another guy. And that following year, they won one more game than they did when they had him. They went the same. They went 7-9, and then this year we know the story of it. They're still trending down. They've trended way down this year with only having one win. I think they have stability if they kept him.
I'm not sold on Kirk Cousins until I see it in the biggest moments. Big games, either in the playoffs or to qualify for the playoffs. That's when I'll be like, okay, they made a mistake. This is a nice run they're having. The Vikings are a talented team, and they put a gun to his head, and he has responded for 3 weeks, probably going to get a 4th week here because the Redskins are garbage. But Let's see it in January.
But that's what you got to take into consideration here is that look at what the Redskins' success rate is right now. So we're saying did the Redskins make a mistake, not did the Patriots or did Minnesota make a mistake or any other, you know.
Grade them against themselves.
Right? If you're grading them against what
well,
you're seeing with the Redskins.
They had an unfortunate injury with Alex Smith.
Okay.
And so what were they, 6-4 then? Or
they were, yeah, they were. Yeah.
Since 2018, Alex Smith, Case Keenum, Josh Johnson, Colt McCoy,
freak injury
Mark
with
Sanchez.
Alex Smith. Yeah.
Fair, but like you said earlier with the dislocated knee, right? Well, you say, I could get injured falling out of my seat. Mm. You get injuries happen in football, right?
And
they happen.
That's to your earlier point. You can't predict that disaster, but you can protect yourself in those situations by having somebody who's more reliable.
16 games.
And the thing about it is, the thing that really scares me about Kirk Cousins, we've all been there. That argument where she says, one more chance, or that's it. It became it sooner or later because you just can't live under that probation for so long. So I wonder mentally, how long is he going to be under that probation with his teammates? Thielen's out. You talk about the hamstring injury. I just wonder if Kirk is going to get relaxed in this success and then return to who Kirk was.
He's always going to be the next guy, though. That other guy that's like followed him. It's still following him in Minnesota. He's going to have to win at a high level to get beyond that.
Yeah. Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for LeBron James.
You. Oh, look at that.
Yeah. Make it 2 in a row with Big Dummy of the Day.
Oh,
maybe a bonus in it for you.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Hey, man, on it for real.
Truffle chicken time.
Truffle chicken time?
Big dummy of the day, please.
Big dummy of the day go to the person that said that.
The person that said that they needed
Urban Meyer to be their trainer. Urban Meyer's a coach. He ain't no damn miracle worker. What the hell you gonna do with that man?
Physical coach.
All right, let's talk LeBron James. Lakers season opening loss to the Clippers.
Damn, I forgot.
LeBron just scored 18 points on 7 of 19 shooting and disappeared down the stretch. Marcellus, do you think LeBron looked old last night?
I hate to say this about the King, but you didn't see the suddenness, as Coach would say. You didn't see him look blurry on film. He had more shots than points. That's not LeBron. He was fully engaged. Y'all saw him pregame. They were up 13-2. LeBron wanted this to go differently than it did, but what happened is they met the bench of the Clippers, and the style of play is not going to last for LeBron. Got to get him off ball.
Yeah, I definitely thought he looked a little old, but you know, I don't have great expectations this year
for
the Lakers. I just don't. Playoffs. All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Playoffs, that's it.
You got a take on LeBron looking old?
First round.
Yeah, I got a take on you lying.
Lying about what?
Hey man, why are you lying? You know good and well when you was in Kansas City, you ain't rode nothing but white Broncos. That's why your mama used to always call you old Jason. Every time you bring another one home, she say the same thing.
Oh, he's skiing.
Oh, Jason. Baby, why? But anyway, let me get back
to my... I had a red explorer, not a white.
Look, let me get back to my little soliloquy.
What are you talking about?
Okay, look, let me tell you what I saw from LeBron last night.
Yeah.
Did you see him do the pregame?
Yeah.
When the national anthem was going on?
Yeah.
Yelling and screaming, getting all hyped. Let's go! Let's go! I bet that ass didn't do that when he was over in China. I bet he stood there like a church mouse during communion and didn't say one word. Hey, man, I'm gonna tell y'all what happened to LeBron.
What happened?
Hey, man, you ever embellish your stats to a woman?
Yes.
And then she believed you and took you up on it?
And recruiter. Yep.
And then came time for that big moment you had to show and prove. And you didn't live up to the hype. That's what happened to LeBron last night.
Wow.
That's LeBron, not it. LeBron talking about, damn, baby, this ain't never happened before. Talking about, damn, baby, look here, baby, it's a long season. I make it up to you in the end.
That's not it.
That's what LeBron did last night.
Wow.
Hey, I get it. I see what y'all saying. Hey, but LeBron is a 17-year vet.
Yeah.
And he's not as young and as limber as he used to be.
Yep.
And I understand this.
I told y'all earlier this summer, hey, I tore my rotator cuff. Hey, this is just the injury that occurs later in your career.
Yeah.
So on the for real, what I think we should be looking at is
what?
Anthony Davis.
He got tired.
Now, that young buck wasn't nowhere to be found. Got tired. Now, is that not LeBron's hand-picked Thundercat?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And all he can do is give you two funky-ass points in crunch time? How old is the boy? 26?
Hi, boss.
He 26 and he tired after 27 minutes?
We're feeding him.
Hey, boy, let me tell you something. When Uncle Jimmy was 26, woo! Well, I give you 40 minutes of the damn. You understand me? I'm putting pressure on you from both ends. Hey, boy, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, boy, hey, I'm dropping them in your face. It wasn't enough for Uncle Jimmy to hit a doubleheader. You understand me? You understand me? I was ready for overtime if I had to. Hey, back then, let me tell you something. Back then,
for the show?
Your bench rider could get more playing time than your starter. All right. And you Uncle didn't Jimmy, have we gotta to hide go. On the third and fifth floor.
We got
to
go.
Throw up the X.
I got a 58 role player status for LeBron James.
Yeah.
I dropped him in the top baby. To a 14.
I'm higher than that, but at the same time, I'm in the same category. Where is the internet?
Dumpster fire. Oh, the dumpster Ooh. Fire for the internet.
Oh, yeah, you higher than
pre-game
that.
Pre-game smoke.
Man, are you guys tracking going down, down, down?